Blog Talk Radio.
Believe everything the mainstream media
tells you? We don't. We cover what mainstream with Donnie C, Texas Bob, and Cinnamon. Tin Hat, not
required. At 347-324-3752.
All too often these days, the factory whistle is falling silent in America. But there is a way to get American businesses back to work. Start buying more American-made products. Now a Michigan-based company is leading the way to strengthen our economy. It's called AmericanMadeProducts.com. AmericanMadeProducts.com is more than a way to purchase American-made products online, quickly and securely. It's a way to get our economy moving in the right direction. Go online or call and speak to a live customer service representative. AmericanMadeProducts.com, a family company based on the belief of the American worker and the quality of American-made products. If you're an American manufacturer, big or small, and would like your products on our site, contact us. We add products daily. Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your employer about AmericanMadeProducts.com. Visit us, shop, and watch America grow. AmericanMadeProducts.com.
We're back. Scott, you're with me, right?
Yeah.
Scott, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me explain. It is not Blog Talk's fault. This was my fault. Completely my fault. I canceled September.
I'm getting a big echo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why you're getting an echo. You shouldn't. With the phone you're using. How about now?
I can't hear you.
Boy, everything's screwed up. And it's just my fault. Okay. I canceled shows, and when I scheduled them back up, well, I kept putting in over top another show that was reoccurring from last year, or last spring.
I don't know what's going on with that.
You sound good.
Okay.
I can barely. Well, I don't know why we're having that problem. No telling. It's in my mixer, in my board somewhere. I don't know.
Well, we'll blame Blog Talk.
No, I blame the one. It's me. It's me. Oh, Donnie, it's Alan from Blog Talk. I can hear you great. I can hear you. That's good. But your audio is sounding bad. Can you try what? Call me in, Cinnamon.
Yeah, you are sounding bad.
Oh, okay. I don't know what's going on. I'll call in on a phone, Scott, and we'll be all right.
Okay.
You want to answer and see what he says, or do you want to just try and adjust the microphone?
Oh, we adjust the microphone a little bit here. Is that what that? How about now?
Keep talking.
And.
Okay. Tom, we'll call right back with Skype.
We're going to call in with Skype. I thought we were on Skype.
No, we're doing the direct connect.
Okay. All right. We'll call, okay, Scott? This is going to work out. It's my fault. I'll take full credit for all this mess.
In the call.
So I need to call back in? Hello?
Are we back? No, you're not even in there, Scott. I'm hitting you in. Scott, are you there? Oh, I can hear. Now it's really there.
Well, it sounds good this way now.
I'm hearing all kinds of feedback. Now I'm all right.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can, yeah. Now
okay.
I've lost Scott. But that's okay. He'll call back, I hope. Anyway, thank you, Alan, I believe, for all your fixing this for us. I thought I'd cancel four shows than I had, and I was double booking, I guess they would say. And I appreciate all your help.
And you're not even blonde, honey.
Pardon me?
I said, and you're not even blonde.
Yeah.
So you don't.
Oh. For all the blondes out there, she didn't mean it. I didn't say it. My co-partner, here he is. He's back. Let's get him up. How are you, Scott? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Hey. Alan, I think we figured it out. Hold on, Alan's on. Alan, I put you up, and thank you very much for all your help.
Oh, you're welcome.
And all the trouble we caused.
Oh, no, not at all. And I'm sorry about that, but you're good to go here.
It's definitely my fault, not blocked out. And I appreciate all your help. And it will not happen again, I promise.
No, it's all right. And, we're here to help you out. So if you have trouble, just let us know.
Oh, thank you very much. And I hope not to talk to you soon.
Well, I hope so, too. So that means no issues. So
okay.
I hope that, too.
Have a good night. Good night. All right. That was Alan and from Dog Talk. Very nice guy. Okay. Now we're back, Scott. And he made it a 3-hour show. Folks, we're not doing a 3-hour show. I don't know why he made it a 3-hour show for us. But I guess he
right.
thought you're long-winded, Scott.
Oh, okay. Well, sometimes I can be.
Well, yes. Yes, you can. I asked. Gene told me all about it.
Ha, ha, ha. Okay, you're funny now. Well, anyway, so we've lost a few minutes here. Let's crank this thing up and get it rolling.
Yes. Yeah. Are we on Facebook? Did you get
I'm
it up
gonna
on
be.
Facebook?
I went
yeah,
to Facebook and had apologized to everybody because we had problems again. I'll delete that. That's a blog talk has botched the show again. We'll shoot for Monday or Tuesday. Sorry for the setback. I will delete that, and we will post tonight's show.
Oh, hold on, Cinnamon. I think she can. Yeah, Gene will do it.
If she can do it, she can do it. If not, I'll have to get the secretary in here to do that.
Okay, and Cinnamon, if workers, unions, and unions, workers, and workforce, no. What the hell is
workers, that? Workers, workers, workplaces, and unions.
Workers, workplaces, and unions. And, yeah, go ahead and post it with the picture. I don't know if she knows how to do that. I think
yeah,
she does.
She did it last week.
Oh,
she
yeah,
did
there
last
was a couple.
Week.
Anyway, okay, we do have one email. Hey, guys, I read that $31 million was taken from the strike fund and put into the general fund. Is this true? If you don't know, could you point me to where I could find this out for myself, and that's from Janelle from Local 602. And the only reason I don't have any emails because they came out garbled all up. I don't know what's wrong. It could be my printer, and I apologize. So that's the only email. So go ahead, Scott.
All right, Janelle from 602. Thanks for calling in or emailing your question in. The Detroit News reported on September 24th of this year, 2000, the United Auto Workers 36th Constitutional Convention in June, delegates voted to hike the membership dues rate the first time since 1967. The 25% increase is expected to bring an extra $45 million annually. The UAW claims that this money is needed to bolster its strike and defense fund, which, by the way, at the Constitutional Convention, or the CONCON, as we call it, they also voted to change the language from the strike fund to the strike and defense fund, which, if you've been listening to the show for very long, Dick Danjan explained to you that there are articles of corporation tied to that language as far as what they can do and what that fund is supposed to do. And he went from the strike fund being an insurance fund to a strike and defense fund, which is set up completely different. It allows them the freedom to meet amongst the executive board, the international executive board, and they can vote when they need to pull that money out of the general fund or out of the strike and defense fund and put that into the general fund. That was also guidelines for this new language on the strike and defense fund. Continue. In preparation for the 2015 contract negotiations, which include Detroit's big three automakers, the dues hike, however, may be unnecessary and won't be fully used for funding strikes. At the same convention, delegates also voted to allow their leadership to siphon $60 million with an M from the strike fund over the next 4 years. So Janelle, it wasn't just $30 million, it was $60 million over 4 years. And that's not to say that they could go back in and ask for more or get more, I believe. Calculated out the strike fund. From the 2014 report of the Secretary of Treasury, dividing the strike fund balance by the amount of dues-paying members shows that the fund contained $1,638 per member in 2013. This number is in line with the total funds for most of the past three decades. For the last 30 years, the fund has contained an average of $1,583 per member when adjusted for inflation. Prior to 1980, the amount per member in the strike fund was much lower. Over the last 57 years, the average balance of the strike fund per dues paying member was only $836 in 2013 dollars. And that means, you know, what your money was worth last year. The UAW strike benefits are $200 per week plus medical and life insurance coverage. With the strike fund balance currently at $1,638 per member, the strike fund has enough cash right now to pay every single one of the UAW's 382,789 members strike benefits for 8 weeks. The chances of every single member striking at the same time, however, are ridiculously small. Large strikes are relatively uncommon and usually don't last very long. The answer has less to do with the work stoppages and more to do with politics. In recent years, the strike fund has become a sort of a slush fund. The UAW executives rated to pay for attempts to organize more employees under the union banner. Since 2006, union leadership has obtained permission to relocate $330 million from the strike fund for the other purposes such as organizing. In 2011, then UAW President Bob King claimed on the cusp of an organization campaign that the union had pretty deep pockets in terms of what they're willing to spend. A mere 3 years later, he told reporters, "Where we don't think taking money from the strike fund was the wisest decision." So if Janelle wanted to figure out what we're going to spend and what they have done, they've taken $330 million from the strike fund, which had put us from where we were at almost $1 billion to over just over $600,000 in less than 3 years. But let me continue, Janelle, with another part of your answer, because there are other people who are upset. And, excuse me, this comes from, the title is from the Ford, this is from Autoblog. Ford worker files for UAW's dues refund and stirs the right-to-work debate. This is by Jonathan Ramsey. This was posted August 24, 2014. Let's start with some history. Ford's Dearborn truck plant, part of the company's massive River Rouge complex, was the center of a strike in 1941 that led to Ford signing the first closed shop agreement in the industry. The agreement obliged every worker at the plant to be a dues-paying member of the United Auto Workers. On December 7, 2012, however, Michigan Governor Rick Snyder signed legislation making Michigan a right-to-work state, which outlaws closed shops. The new law gave workers the right to opt out of union membership and stop paying dues, even if they were still covered by union activities like collective bargaining. For employees in the Dearborn plant, the right-to-work clause takes effect at the end of their current contract in 2015. As a tool and die maker at Ford's Dearborn plant for 16 years, Todd Lemire pays dues to UAW, about 2 hours' salaries per month. However, he's unhappy with the UAW's support of the Democratic Party and not wanting to wait until next year to be out of the UAW entirely. He invoked his Beck rights, which I have not looked into. I apologize. I will have more on that next week. The Beck rights, which state that a non-member of a union does not have to pay dues to support non-core activities, such as political spending. But Lemire wasn't happy that Ford still subtracted the total amount of dues, with the UAW reimbursing the difference. So he filed suit with the National Labor Relations Board, feeling that the workaround violates his right. Case is just weeks old, so it could be a while before a resolution. Yet as of September 15, 2015 draws near and the right-to-work laws take full effect for Michigan workers, others wonder whether it could help revitalize the state's manufacturing base. A case like this adds more fuel to discussion. So, Janelle, I hope that kind of helped answer your question just a little bit, maybe, about the dollar amount and how other people are feeling about this. If you've been listening to the show, we talked about some of the, I think, four of the big changes that they were wanting to do at the ConCon, and why it was so important that we sent delegates that voted for what the people wanted. And that bid wasn't taken to heart because we only had less than 50% of the people who sent to the convention voted the way the people did. There's a YouTube clip out there showing the dues increase being voted down or being voted for in the opposition. And like I said, that's out there on YouTube somewhere. And it wasn't very pretty. But if you want to see that for yourself, you can. But there's also a lawsuit being put on at Ford as of August 1st. That was put in suit by the group of temporary employees who accused the union of forcing them into dodgy contracts and accepting union dues from the workers without proper representation. There's 200 workers from the Automotive Component Holdings accused the UAW of failing to represent them properly, even as they pay the union dues, in addition to subjecting them to pressure to blindly sign and vote for contracts, which they lacked the details. That kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Sure does.
The ACH workers endured bankruptcies and transfers to other plants, all while being treated differently than the Ford UAW members, the suit says. They claim that UAW National failed to intervene on behalf of the ACH workers despite collecting dues from them, the lawsuit said. I'm going to read all of this, but if you want to look into that, you could do that. That was from Law 360 Breaking News. They had an article on that. And then I went to Roselle Legal. And Janelle, this will come back to you again. The United Auto Workers Union has an aggressive new president and a lot of cash, and friends at the National Labor Relations Board, strong arm companies into yielding to UAW demands. Just as the UAW membership declines, the desire and the ability for confrontation increases. The new UAW president, Dennis Williams, recently vowed no more concessions. We are tired of it. Enough is enough. Later, he said, we are committed to eliminating the two-tier system, referring to a 2007 compromise where the union accepted a two-tiered wage system that established a $14 per hour starting wage for new hires with a peak of only $19 an hour compared to a top rate of $28 an hour for established workers performing the same job. In the same 2007 compromise, knowing that its survival was at stake, the union agreed to a no-strike clause for the first time in history. For decades, the UAW has used the threat and the reality of strikes to negotiate wage and benefit packages well exceeding the ability of employers to afford them. I anticipate the union will allow the current contract to expire, forcing the automatic rescission of the no-strike clause. Despite the UAW's accumulation of wealth, its members have not received a base wage increase in nearly a decade. Big Three, Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler, contract renewal negotiations began in 2015 and promised to be active, if not controversial. Auto parts supplier in Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana should closely monitor these negotiations and begin preparing to negotiate the next contract, since the UAW will seek to include much of the content of what is ultimately agreed to in the collective bargaining contracts, the Big Three, and contracts with suppliers of the Big Three as well. The United Auto Workers sold its members on dues increase under the guise that additional money was needed to replenish its strike fund after the fund loaned money to pay for the union's operating expenses. After all, the UAW needs a fat strike fund heading into labor negotiations with the Big Three in 2015. However, once the members approved the increase, they learned that more than half of the additional $45 million will be put back into the union's general fund, not the strike fund. According to MLive.com, with approving the dues increase, which was Article 16 of the annual UAW convention, members also voted transferring $85 million from the emergency operation fund to a newly created VEBA trust, transferring $25 million of the strike fund to the International Union General Fund in June, allowing leaders to use up to $60 million in the strike fund over the next 4 years to support major organizing drives and other initiatives intended to increase the UAW membership and other similar financial measures related to dues. So if you read from Roselle Legal, they're saying that they put in $60 million over the next 4 years, plus they put in another $25 million into the strike fund from the general fund. To continue, it says, armed with this information, many UAW members are calling for a rescission of their approval for the dues increase. If members can't trust their own union, how are companies supposed to trust the unions? And I thought that was a well-written piece from Roselle Legal. So there you go, Janelle. I kind of tried to hit that as best as I could. Excuse me.
Pretty well. Even I understood it.
Well, I mean, what's your take on that, Don?
First of all, you said union dues aren't taken out until when? November 1st?
Correct.
Correct. Okay, November 1st is... And when were they they were supposed to come out August 1st, right? No. October.
Yeah, originally it was August. Then I heard October. No,
okay,
it's November.
Why is there a delay? Yeah. Just in time. Yeah, I'm just wondering if the election's entered into it. But, man, when you think of all the years of union dues, and then it kind of makes you wonder now they could shutter, you know, go on strike at this plant and close 5 or 6 other plants. It's all planned because it leaves them more money to do what they want to do instead of the old way of going out, just everybody going out on strike. You know what I mean?
Right.
Am I saying, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Shutting the whole situation down. It's good strategy, I guess. You know, you shut one down, you only pay strike funds to one plant. But I wonder if there was a motive behind that. There's a lot of it's like that guy that I was talking to. I guess he listened to WJR and the new president was on. He never said that they're going to bring the tier two people up to tier one people at all. He said it sounded to him like they're going to, you know, he didn't use the word bridge, but we've been using the word bridge because he, you know, the president has been using the word bridge them together and bring one down to meet the other. Bring the other up. So
still would be bridging though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you don't want a ladder because that's where you'd be from the tier two to the tier one. That'd be like a ladder, you know, to be able to walk across that, you know, not climb it, to walk across it has to be a bridge. So it has to be somewhat level.
You would think
so.
I'm not
an engineer, but I would imagine if you've got a creek and you want to get across the other side, you're going to put a bridge across there somehow, hopefully one that you can walk across. It might have a slight arch in the middle, but, you know, you're going to, you know, or it could be straight across, but it's usually something to go across from one side to the other without having to climb.
Right.
It could be. I mean...
Yeah,
it's awful funny. General Motors has all the financial problems right now, you know, in this last year. A lot of things are coming to light from decisions that upper management made. Let's make that perfectly clear. Right.
And
the workers. And Chrysler and Ford. And I think I posted just the other day on workers, you've got, I posted one and somebody else posted something else, but Chrysler is recalling 786,000 vehicles for heated mirrors, short circuits, and more. And then I've seen somebody else posted that there's also, it's more, it's 907,000 Chrysler, Dodge, and Jeep vehicles recalled for alternator and mirror issues. So... If we, as Mr. Dandy would say, as we continue to keep getting our parts from the same supplier, when that supplier has problems, it affects more than just one individual company. It can affect, you know, multiples.
Right. If you keep getting them from the same deal, they're the same maker, you're going to get the same problem.
Right. Now, Toyota is recalling 423,000 Lexus models recalled for a fire risk due to leaky fuel gaskets.
Yeah,
so that's Toyota's. So now Toyota's put out a recall. I mean, the recalls are happening, you know, like I said, from all over, from all the different corporations. So it's interesting to see what happens. Like I said, suppliers, it's supplier issues. But that doesn't slow people down from putting new vehicles out with a high price tag. I think I posted on Workers' Workplaces and Unions from the Car and Driver about the 2015 Dodge Charger. And if you click on that link, it lets you see, I want to say the price range starts out, I want to say mid-20s, and goes all the way up to about $70,000 for a Charger.
Yeah, I think it was started at about $28,000 on up.
Right.
Oh,
right. Yeah, it's crazy how much it is. You know, and the Corvettes. In the meantime, I posted something else from the Car Connection about Michigan. They're trying to put a ban that would ban a bill to ban Tesla sales. Is going to go to the governor's desk, and they were asking whether he'll sign or not, and that was for the opportunity for, like, if you and Cinnamon could afford to and you wanted to buy an electric car directly from Tesla, you know, to them, you could, without having to go through a dealer.
Right.
And paying that tax to the dealer, and I mean, you're still going to pay a sales tax to the state, you're still going to pay for your plate and your transfer of your plate, and all the the legalities of it, but
right.
You're going to save money because you've cut the middleman out. And they're saying, like, I think there's like six other states that have, six or seven states that have said that they've outlawed the ban, outlawed the sale directly to the consumer.
Yeah.
And which is forcing them to.
And they're looking at jobs. No, you cut out the middleman, which is your dealership, and you're cutting out a lot of jobs. And
yep,
and every state right now wants jobs, and but no telling what our governor will do. I don't know.
No,
I have no clue. But you did say six or seven other states have banned the direct sales to the customer.
Now they did say like New Jersey.
Okay.
And Chris Christie, they said they weren't going to allow that. They didn't say they weren't going to allow it because it wasn't going to create or the non-creation of jobs like such as a dealership. They said that they weren't going to allow it because it wouldn't allow them to collect extra monies. I mean, it was very plain and very simple. It was all about money.
It's all about the buck. They getting the money,
right.
Not the jobs, not the people that are trying to make a living.
Right. Right.
All that. Good, Chris. What? You know, he doesn't.
Hey, you're right.
No way.
Yeah. You're right about that Charger. It starts out at 28.9. And you can get the utterly outrageous performance Hellcat out at 64.9.
64.9 for a Dodge Charger.
Yes, that's with the Hellcat version with the big souped up 700 horse motor in it. Interesting. you know, the Camaros were doing the same thing with the Camaros. I mean, to get the SS Camaro is what, $75,000.
Wow. That's incredible. That is. The wages don't go up, and they keep components, and you keep getting these recalls.
Well, you got to pay for them somehow.
Well, I just say, you do. Yeah.
Well, if you jack them prices up on all your vehicles, I mean, you know, these woes keep hitting them, and it costs them money. and they collect from the consumers what it appears to be. They jump the prices up on these vehicles. They continue to get subpar parts from their supplier. And until you address your supplier issue and start getting good parts, you know, this is going to plague them for quite a while. And it's going to cost them millions and billions of dollars if you don't, get this under control soon.
Right. Now, I don't know what website it was. It was one of the workers, UAW sites that had a good article. It looked, I just read some of it, but a pretty good article about the TPP that everybody should read this. And it's not a Democrat, Republican BS like they want you to think. It's both sides. Everybody should read this. And instead of this, I'm left, you're right, you're this, you're that. Come on, just bring it all together. We're one country. Let's do the best we can. And this TPP, although Obama's the president, and he's pushing for it, and he's got Republicans behind him too. So write your congressman and tell him, you know, after reading it. Now, if you agree with it, by all means, write him and say, hey, this is the best thing that ever happened. But if you were against NAFTA, and I read and heard and so many people complain about NAFTA. A Democrat from Florida said this was the worst. This is 10 times. This is NAFTA 10 times worse. So you need to look into that. And it's a good article and for what I read of it.
Right, and see what your elected official, whether they support that or not, and you know you need to get with them and ask them why, you know. We know why
right.
not, but you know why they're supporting that.
I already it's taking jobs, and it's just not a trade agreement. This thing deals with your house, your air, everything. It's got things in there that doesn't belong in there. The way you live, pretty much. And there, that's why you can't... I'm telling you, the senators, a lot of the senators do not know what's in this because they're not allowed to see it. You know, in Australia, cinnamon, was it Australia? They wouldn't let them look at it, so and they had to vote for it first. What country was it?
No, Australia. Oh. Everybody, nobody can look at it until it's approved by Congress.
Nobody. Then they can. Okay, I thought somebody else. Okay. I got that screwed up. But I thought I read somewhere. Anyway, these people. The congressmen don't even know what the hell is in it. And bits and pieces are coming out chapter by chapter, and it's terrible. And Freedom of Information Act by this man, Alan Grayson out of Florida. He's a congressman. He read it, but the only way he could read it is if he said anything, told what was in it, that would be it for him. He said it's 10 times worse than NAFTA ever thought of being. It's the worst thing that could ever have happened to America. Now, that's a Democrat. So if you want to check it out, read everything you can on it. and write, and I did, I wrote Stabenow, and Cinnamon wrote Stabenow, and we both got two different answers, of course. But it's going to be, you know, she got a way of going around in a circle on answering anything, so you don't get along too well anyway. So,
right.
So you people look into it. Don't let it sneak up on you like NAFTA did, in which it didn't really sneak up on anybody, but nobody did anything about it. But this time, let's fight and tell them we don't want this crap. Japan didn't want it. But they're getting kind of forced into it. This country is now, they're getting blackmailed into wanting, we're going to get it anyway, probably, but if we sit on our thumbs and do nothing about it, we deserve what we get.
Absolutely. Just like our union, you know. You deserve what you get. Look at what happened at the Con-Con, you know.
Yeah.
The popularity vote is going to come out of your pocket. I hope you enjoy it, because that's what's going to happen. Everybody voted for these people they thought were, that they liked so much, and they didn't know how their delegates were going to vote on their behalf, and they've got the dues increase, and now you get to live with that for the next 4 years. So every time somebody starts complaining about that dues increase, how did your delegate vote again? Good, good. Maybe them and the international will take you out for lunch or for breakfast somewhere. Thank you.
Your hand. Say, howdy do. I've seen that happen. 35 years in a plant. People complain year after year about the same person. Come about a month, 6 weeks before election, they come around. Hey, how you doing, Joe? Hey, he's talking to me. And I must be somebody. And he keeps coming around, then you don't see him. Anymore, so there you go.
Right.
It's up to you. Now, I'm going to do my part. We flooded the switchboard at the White House, and they canceled. They postponed it, and it still hasn't been, brought up again. This is a few years ago, 3 years ago, and it shut down the switchboard at the White House. You can do it. The people got to work together to do it, and you can't wait till the union tells you to do it. I don't understand why the union hasn't. Our union paper came out and had an article about TPP and how bad it will be for us, I believe.
That's almost contradictory because Bob King sits on the advisory board and he's all for it.
I know it, which was a big surprise. hey, the union 598, put it out there. Said, hey, this sucks. It's not for the American people. It's not for the American worker. So, folks got to look into that. It's Trans-Pacific Partnership. And there's more. Believe me, there's another one out there. And right offhand, I can't tell you the name of that.
It's worse than the TPP.
Yeah.
I can't remember now either. But I know what you're talking about.
Right.
So
They keep coming, brother.
Well, next week, I went to the union hall today, went to the union meeting, and next week you're gonna have the chairman, the president, and part of your bargaining team will be going down to Detroit for a sub-council meeting.
That's right.
I'll be talking about some contractual issues.
We had a union meeting.
Yes, Canadian Union Day. So on the week of the 20th, they're going down for a sub-council meeting. And then on the week of the 26th, they're going to make available to us some resolution papers. So if you want to have a resolution, maybe get all the way up to the national bargaining level, you can fill out a resolution. And that resolution might be able to be discussed at a local issue, too, because we'll be, even though we're under a living contract, they can still talk about the contract at any given time on a local issue per a living agreement. So if you like a national, something that's very dear to your heart, that upsets you very much, too, that's the resolution that I'll put in. And you flood that with your, to your shop chairman, and he'll have to take that, and he'll have to look at that as a whole before they pass them over to the regional, which is now 1B. You'll pass that along to the region, and the region will put that up to Solidarity House and think it has merit. So if that doesn't get down there to Solidarity House, then we know it either stopped at your local or it stopped at the regional's office. And then you could always call and ask those folks how they feel about that resolution language that you wrote and why, maybe. That's a way of holding them accountable. I'm sure they'd be glad to take your phone call and listen to you. Just saying.
Yeah, I do. There you go. And I filled out many questionnaires in my time. None of them made it, but I did my part. And, thank everybody.
Maybe another resolution would be to remove the strike clause and give us a right to strike back. You know, well, you got a brand new president. You got to see what he's going to do. Well, I don't think we want to wait that long. I think we put the resolution in there just so you don't forget it. Sending a tier two and same thing with COLA. There's another resolution to get right. Restore the cost of living allowance to the active worker. No, it's just an active worker, that not all workers.
Right.
So if we could get rid of the tier two, get our strike language back, and get cost of living back, it'd be a happy world for everybody, wouldn't it?
Think you get cost of living, get your COLA back. Look all the money the union will get. With the union dues, they get a piece of that.
Oh,
and you mentioned today, you get a piece of everything they negotiate for you in money. And
under that new dues language, they get more money. You're right. So if you have something special as far as a bonus or a safety bonus or a quality bonus or you don't have to worry about a profit sharing check this year, but something like that, they get because that dues increase went in effect, they're going to get another 25% more of that too.
You're right.
So,
absolutely right. In a signing bonus, I would imagine they'll get when the contract, they try to shove this thing up your wood with a big signing bonus, I'm sure they'll get a piece of that too. And it's all about money. It's all about money. And what you said earlier in explaining it, that's bad. That's $200 a week. For 8 weeks, for every membership, and 300 and
that
how many? 80. 380.
Yeah, that was current level. That was 382,789 people members. 382,789.
And that's why I mentioned maybe that's why they struck one plant to shut down a few others to only pay, you know, strike funds for one plant.
I think.
Probably not.
Beaver started that. I think Beaver started that because I know that that Walter Rootson said, if you're on strike, you strike everybody. I think Beaver was one that started with the Wolfie shut, the isolated strikes, which would have the ripple effect. We'll shut this person down. Eventually, they'll shut this one down.
Yeah, and then you get unemployment and in that you won't get any of your, they won't touch any of the strike fund.
Right.
But you know,
if,
people
we went on strike in Flint.
Pardon me?
Remember when we went on strike in Flint?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Okay. It was what? A day strike?
Enough, three days? Enough to not get any money for the week.
Exactly. Because it was only out 3 days. The strike fund doesn't pay out unless you're out a week. So we lost that money. And if you remember right, Gettlefinger took us out because it was about job security. Job security. The first thing he said when he come back is, we have a VEBA. Boy, I didn't like the first thing you took us out for. You said we were going out for job security. Now we got a VEBA. Wow, how'd that work?
Beautiful thing.
Well,
and,
every last national contract, the last five contracts have been about job security. Tell me, how's that working out for us? How many jobs have we cut? You know, we're just around 50,000 workers in General Motors Corporation now. That's it.
That's amazing. When
and
I
we're
hired
still
it,
making more vehicles than we used to.
Right. There was 7,000 people working at the Flint Truck and Bus. That's what we called it when I worked there. Started there. Over 7,000 people. It was like a small city. And all these truck drivers, vandals, you know, I don't recall anybody getting hit, nothing like that. But God, man, it was people everywhere. It was unbelievable. We would turn the frames with chains. And now they've got all this automation that cuts jobs and body shop is incredible. I worked in the body shop upstairs when it was upstairs. And you're wall-to-wall people. And look at it now. It's quiet. You don't have very many people at all. Now it's the place to work. And, you know, everybody's trying to get in the body shop. And back then, everybody's trying to get out of body shop.
Right.
And like Dick said, every day, there's that name. Every day you're going to lose a job. Your job's being lost because of technology. Every day.
That's why Walter Reuther back in the 50s put the annual wage agreement in there. He was smart enough to look into the future and see that as technology improved, we were going to lose more jobs. So to be fair to the workers, you'd give them an annual wage agreement where you increase their base pay every year by a percentage. I believe it's
3%. Had
we continued that forward, we gave that up in the 80s. Had we continued forward with that, I think Dick and I did that one time. We sit down and did the math on that on the afternoon, and we would have been making about $55 an hour. And, $55 an hour, I could afford to go out and buy one of our trucks right now if I was making $55 an hour.
You're right. And when we started, you know, when I started doing this show, so I kept hearing CNN MSNBC, or Fox News. One lady on CNN said with benefits and everything, we made $185 an hour.
Yeah, and that's a misnomer.
An hour. And nobody stopped her for being stupid. Please,
right.
where do I sign up for that money?
Right, and nobody from the union come out and correct her. They didn't want
nobody.
Their math being wrong.
The National never said word one. They didn't say word one earlier in the year when we were getting stomped on. They didn't come out and say anything. They didn't defend the worker at all. And believe me,
right.
People, don't quit the union because you are the damn union. Once you realize, you know, you can make a change, go for it. Because you got people out there, I want to quit the union. I want to quit the union. When you do that, they win. They win all the way. Quit if you want, but you won't have a say-so on nothing. And I don't know, Scott. There's people out there that are very upset. They're very, I don't know what they're going to do. They keep saying they're going to quit the union as soon as they can. And I think that's gone.
No, I'm listening to you.
Oh, you're still here?
No, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
You said it many, many, many times. You quit a lot. It's a plain law. Yeah, I get madder than hell at the union. Damn right I get mad at them. I don't like how they spend our money. I don't like any of that. I don't like I see something up here, but nothing flashing, but nothing's underneath it. Were you writing me something, son? Well, you said
I was. It doesn't matter now. We're okay.
Okay.
We're okay.
Well, anytime, you know, it's your show.
It's your show. Well, we got a lot to write. We're looking at it.
I screwed everything up the last week and this week. I was told what I did wrong and from Blog Talk, and they straightened it out, and that's why we're on later than normal. But and for some reason, he put us on for 3 hours, which we're not going to do. I couldn't do 3 hours for anybody. So anytime Scott's ready to hit the door, that's when we'll hit the door. But
well,
you said
glad we got
time. People on the floor are the union.
Absolutely.
Now, how many people, Scott, is at Solidarity Health?
Oh, my goodness. I do not even know what the total amount, what the staff would be.
I don't know.
I mean, because like the president has an assistant, and an administrative assistant, and the administrative assistant has an assistant. You got the vice president, so then you have somebody else is going to cover suppliers. Somebody's going to be a direct rep, like for our plant, the truck plant. Somebody's going to be a direct rep for the truck plant. Somebody's going to be a direct servicing rep for the automotive group for the Northeast, and, you know, because now we're in four regions, or they divided the United States up into four quarters. So somebody's going to have this, and somebody's going to have that, and somebody's going to have this one, and somebody's going to do that one. And they're still a big staff, even though they've cut some people back and they've cut a vice president out. There's still a large, amount
I
have to get to.
No, yeah,
I think it's an LM2.
probably a lot of work being and a lot of work goes into it. We know, somebody going to Spring Hill every week, and God, I can't stand driving to Alabama, you know, once in a while. I can't imagine every week flying back and forth. You know, you do your job right, you do it. It's hard on you. Just like a committee man. You know, you do your job, do it right. It's a hard job. Very hard job.
Right.
That's why I would never want to be a I wised up.
There you go.
I wised up. I'm not like you. I can't deal with it. Don't want to. I want to do my job and go home. I don't have to worry about everything else that goes along with being a committee man, you know.
So when you're trying to help somebody out, get a problem solved, or when you see management is violating your contract,
that's your contract. Yes, that's the simple thing. When back before we have all these, you missed this many days, this and that, you know. Well, I was only late 4 times, you know, and you got people, and you do it every, you know, whether they're missing time, late party, holy man, it just, why can't you come to work? Of course, I would never say that in front of the supervisor. But, so why can't you make it to work or do this is before EAP or EPA or EAP. Go to the doctor if you have a problem. But God, I see you good committee men have to do that day in and day out. A good one. I haven't seen too many good ones. Not too many good ones anymore. There used to be some real damn good ones in our plant, I'll tell you. Good ones. I had to walk out one time the job. I walked off my job at lunch. I told my supervisor, he put me on notice already. I walked out. I found out where my committee man was, and he was at the dugout lounge on Fenton Road. I walked in, and there they all around this big round table, just drinking away. And I ripped him a new one. And of course, I wasn't on notice anymore. I wasn't in trouble at all. But that's how some of them were. We had some damn good ones. We really did. I don't know what happened. I don't know if it's Black Lake. They don't drum into their head the responsibility. You should have that inside you anyway, the responsibility to be a committee man.
Right.
You want to help.
That's what your oath was. You swore an oath in front of your memberships, and that's what you're going to do.
That's true.
Take your oath seriously. If you don't want to do it, then resign your position and let somebody else who will.
Absolutely right.
People get used to what they have, and they think that's all they're going to get. And,
Now, you're right. It's a hard job when you do it right. I've always told people that. You need to see too many people do it right anymore. But it's getting better. people are waking up every day. You read these things on your site, other UAW sites. There's some damn smart people, and they aren't afraid to stand up and say, "Hey, this is how it should be, not how it you want it to be." Well, just shut up. I'm ranting now, and I don't even know what I'm ranting about. Man, Scott is gone. Well, okay, since Scott's gone, and Cindy's still here, and it still says I've got an hour and 44 minutes to go. I could sing to you, but I doubt if you'd like that. And go to Workers, Workplaces, and Unions on Facebook and join and put an article. If you have any questions that you would like answered from Scott or Dick or Teresa, I would imagine Teresa would answer a question or two. But write it down. They will definitely take the time. If they don't know it, they will research it and give you the answer. That I do know. And you don't have to email the show. If you want to, you can. No problem. But I'd much rather you go ahead and do it through the website, or not website, Facebook site, Workers, Workplaces, and Union. And there's a lot of great information you can get from that. Yeah, I'm just looking at one. It says UAW puts out list of scabs in Tennessee. That's on the Facebook site. There's, all kinds of great information and good people, some real good people. And, sometimes a little argument will pop out once in a while, but that's good. That's good. That's healthy. All recalls that you can find, the recalls are out there, and you can see what's going on. That Dodge is on there, and that's a pretty sharp-looking ride. Check it out. Dick, Scott, and Teresa, I guess they are the main people on that on the site. They'll get you right up and they'll take care of you and get your welcomed in, and you'll be fine, and you'll learn a lot. And if you have any questions, that would be the place to ask. I believe Scott's back. Okay, Scott's back.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I lost you for a second. I was talking, all of a sudden just went dead.
No, you just wanted to hang me over. We got an hour and 1 minute. You better call your supervisor and say I'll be a little late.
And then I'll get put on notice, and then I gotta hope that my committeeman will be able to handle that, right?
I'm sure he'll take care of you. Never fear.
Well, yeah.
He will. I know he will, because you'll meet him. But I doubt if you do.
I'll force you to do it.
You would handle your own grievance.
I've done that in the past.
We got to straighten out now, Scott. It'll be every Sunday now, on time, hopefully. Scott, on time, 7:00.
Yeah.
Hey, I was today.
All right.
You give me that one, won't you?
I'm gonna say you were. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
You say you were. I don't know that
right.
for a fact. Okay. So the proof. Next week's the proof. All right.
Okay.
All right, buddy.
Next week.
You have a great
we'll
go ahead.
Yeah, we're gonna shoot for 7 o'clock again. The moderator has it all set up now.
Yeah. Thanks to Blog Talk. We're all set up and I know what to do now.
Right.
After 6 years of doing this stuff, you think I'd know, but I slipped up. But if you hear anything, give me a call. If I, like I told everybody, if they're to write questions, to your Facebook site and join.
Workers, workplaces, and unions, yep. And then or email the show, I guess, or if you have any questions, you can always put the questions up on workers, workplaces, and unions, too.
Yeah, and I'd rather them ask questions there because you guys get right to it. And if they do it, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, you got time to look. If you don't know the answer right away, you can look it up and get the right answer to it instead of springing it on you.
But we'll still take if you still want to email the show, that's fine. Facts are first.
Yep.
That's fine.
Facts are first at AOL.com and I did have others, but they're all I don't know what kind of it was encrypted of some sort.
AOL is working on that for you.
Yeah. It's something else I've probably done. But hey, what can I say? Come on, give me a break. I'm an old man. I'm getting older by a minute.
But you don't read Chinese.
That's right.
So,
all right.
We'll plan on next Sunday at 7 o'clock. And hopefully we'll have something more to talk about and roll through.
Yeah. And like I said, we will be here. We have this thing figured out. Cindy's on it now. Cinnamon, you're on it. And she got this squared up. But I had to be through the humble pie and apologize. We ran when that, because it was my fault. It was definitely my fault. So
okay.
That's how that
goes.
All right, buddy. And the Lions won in the last minute and a half. And congratulations to the Lions. Great game. So
there you go.
And you have a great work week, and everybody work safe.
Have a good night.
Yes, you too, sir.
Alrighty.
And we'll see everybody. 7 o'clock next Sunday night. Good night, everybody.
Gotcha. Good night.